Philippians, the third chapter. Make that Philippians, the fourth chapter. It's good to be with you. I wish my voice was better than it was, but I hated just to call somebody this morning and say, hey, you got to preach this morning. That's not a happy way to start Sunday morning off. So I thought we would struggle through it. But in Philippians, the fourth chapter, last week, we were talking, I gave in an invitation. I was talking about how Christ is for us, what the world cannot imagine. And I had been reading there in the fourth chapter. Paul says, I know how to be abased in the 12th verse, and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Verse 13. We were talking about the idea of how Christ relates to us, and then also how Christ relates to the whole universe. And one of the thoughts I told you, I had read recently that the Hubble Space Telescope had photographed a galaxy they believe is the furthest galaxy away, and they estimate it to be, I think what I said was 12 billion light years away. And I mean, we're to the point where we can't even conceive of numbers like that, distances like that. And yet what Paul was saying here is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because he said in the previous verse, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I've learned both to be full and to be hungry. The Apostle Paul, when he said that, if you back up to the first chapter, in the first chapter, verse 12 and 13 of Philippians, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Verse 13, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And I'd mentioned to you that the word for palace guard there, or my New King James Version says palace guard, the word there is the praetorian. And the famed praetorian guard of the Roman army. And Paul was chained to them in his being imprisoned then. And they were a pretty rough group. But however Paul could see things, by the time he gets over to the fourth chapter and he tells us in verse 12, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. And he tells us in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul had learned a lot in his life. He was thought to be a very well-educated apostle. But he also learned a lot of things about life and serving the Lord. And it wasn't easy. But what's interesting about it is that all through the Bible, that was the way it was for so many saints of God, wasn't it? When God would say, kind of like, I have a job for you to do. And they didn't react well to it, did they? All the way back in the Old Testament, Exodus, the third chapter. You probably know the scene. Moses is tending sheep out in the desert. Exodus 3, and I guess just verse 10, God says to Moses, come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And what was Moses' attitude to that? His attitude was about like what we would all think, wouldn't it? But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He didn't want to go, did he? the great leader of the people of God, really was hesitant about going back and talking to the Pharaoh, and probably knew the Pharaoh. But it meant just being told, this is what I want you to do, and his hesitancy was that which was probably what we would expect. Well, look over in Jeremiah, the first chapter. Jeremiah, the first chapter. You know that Jeremiah reacted the same way. Jeremiah 1. And begin with me in verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "There, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation." Then said I, "O Lord, behold, I cannot speak. I am a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am a youth,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you." Jeremiah said, "I'm just a child, really. When you think about it, I don't have that ability at all." And Moses was saying, "I can't do this." But they did. And they did great things. And there are all kinds of people like that. Over in the book of Jonah, you read the first chapter of Jonah. The first chapter, Jonah, verse 1. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah did what? But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish." Jonah was just going to say, "I'm getting out of here." He said, "I want you to go and cry out to the city of Nineveh," which was the leading city at that time, the most powerful warlike city. And Jonah didn't want to go. And seemed like he fussed about it the whole time, and the book ends with him being angry with God. But he did do what God told him to do after God talked him into it. Over in Acts, the 10th chapter, the Apostle Peter is on a rooftop, and we read in verse 9, Acts 10, verse 9. "The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray," about the sixth hour, verse 10. "Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But Peter said, 'Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean.'" Peter couldn't understand this. But here was this first response to Peter's, not so, Lord. And Peter was about to be sent where, on what kind of a task? He was going to be sent to the house of Cornelius, to the Gentile people. And Peter's first response to that is, no, sir, I can't do that. That's not what for me. It's almost a natural reaction that all of us are given an important task, probably important being difficult, that we shy away from that. I'm not understanding that nor appreciating it. David said, let me read this one to you. Psalms 37, verse 39 and 40. David said, "And the Lord shall help them and deliver them from the wicked, and shall save them because they trust in him." David wrote a little differently. And we were talking about Paul writing in Philippians, the third chapter, this wonderful thoughts that he wanted the Philippian brethren to think about over in the third chapter. when he makes that statement, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. It wasn't easy. I don't think there was anything easy about what Paul's life was like. Interesting about is when we're thinking about, when we ask these questions about how could they take a photograph of a galaxy 12 billion light years away, just terms and descriptions that we can't even comprehend. But what becomes interesting about it is that the Lord of the galaxies is the Lord of our, also our Monday mornings and our trips to the doctor and the times we have to face funerals that we don't like. And the Lord who controls all that out yonder, 12 billion light years, whatever that is, that size, that immensity, that power, that intricate nature is also the one that allows the Apostle Paul to say here in Philippians 3, I know how they know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I think Paul would want us all to understand that. Paul was in a Roman prison. He was chained to the Praetorian Guard of the Roman army. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's a lesson for you and I. I mean, that's such a simple statement. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I don't think he's suggesting we could fly by flapping our arms or run 100 miles an hour or anything like that. He's saying we can live the life. There's 1,000 excuses and reasons not to. But every one of us can live the life where we are, where our life is, where we are at the point in our life. We can serve the Lord. And we understand, first of all, because I can, because God tells me I can. God told Moses to do that, Jeremiah to do that. He told Jonah to do it, and Peter. And they did it. It took some talking, but they did it. And it's, I feel assured that's exactly the way it is with us. I can do whatever God tells me to do. I mean, I may not be an Albert Einstein or something like that, but I can understand the Word of God and I can live the life that glorifies Him and honors His Son. I can do whatever God tells me to do. I can be a person of faith. I can be a Christian. I can wear the name Christ and I can glorify and honor that very name. I can work in the world, which is not easy in itself. I can be a parent, a mother, and a father. I can be a grandfather, grandmother, and I can be people who encourage young ones coming along. I can be a godly neighbor. I can be a person that runs a business in the name of the Lord. I can endure trials, and I may not understand why. Over in Acts, the 8th chapter, in Acts, the 8th chapter, this is right after Stephen's just been stoned to death for his preaching and teaching. And in the 8th chapter of Acts, verse 1, now Saul was consenting to his death, and at that time a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. It must have been terrible just to lose your place in society in Jerusalem and be scattered throughout Israel. And then verse 4, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere doing what? The very thing that got them losing their jobs and their property and their place in Jerusalem society and scattered them throughout Israel was the very thing they went everywhere doing. Preaching the word. And then in the next verse, he picks out one of those people being Philip. How Philip goes down to Samaria. And that seems to be what Paul's intent is in Philippians, the fourth chapter. I can do all things. I can suffer. I can endure trials, just like the early church did here. I can suffer a sickness. I can suffer loneliness, a loss in my life. All because of what Christ has done for me and what the apostles, all the apostles, especially Paul, is teaching us of what we can do. And not only can I do it, I will do it. That's the Christian's attitude. I'm following Christ. I'm not following the world. I don't understand what's happening in our country today. Don't spend a lot of time worrying about it. It's going to go whatever the Lord will allows it to go or takes it to go. But I'm going to continue to serve the Lord. I can overcome life and sin in my life. Over in 1 Corinthians 10, again, one of the most helpful passages, I think, for the child of God. 1 Corinthians 10, and verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Be tempted beyond what you're able. Be able to bear it. Could Paul go through the humiliation of being chained to the Praetorian Guard and drugged wherever they went? Well, he did it. And he found time to write letters that could encourage us this very day, 2,000 years later. I don't know how he did it. But God gives us that promise. There's not anything going to happen to us that will destroy our faith in us. We maintain our faith. Over in 1 Peter, the first chapter, Peter writes a beautiful letter also. 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 13, he makes his summation point in the middle of the chapter. He says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. You make the determination and the decision right now. That's what he's saying to them. To be sober, to be rest your hope fully upon the grace which is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You recognize that's the point that we have. I can do what Christ wants me to do. He wants me to be a person of faith and hope and love. I may not work miracles like the apostles did. I may not have to face a cross like many of them did. But I can be a person of faith and hope and love. I can be the salt of the earth by taking the words of the Lord and living them out in my life. I can be the light of the world by knowing the Word of God and being able to teach people the truth. I may not do it like other people have. Excuse me. But I can be that person that where I'm at my place in this life, at this time, I can serve the Lord. And I may not be the salt of the earth and the light of the world like the Lord and the apostles were, and we're so thankful for them, but we can still be faithful to the Lord. And there's so many other reasons why many people find problems to do. They let problems get in their way. Some don't become Christians because they don't think they can be faithful or they can be strong enough. Some think otherwise. Some don't have enough trust in the Lord or there are too many doubts. There's a lot of other reasons, but I'm going to stop right there. One of the things Paul had said, excuse me, is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Paul believed that Christ could and God could therefore he could. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He believed God could, and that as a result, he could. And we're all children of God here. We're all members of the Lord's church. We're striving to serve the Lord. We carry the name of Christ throughout the world. Let us have that determination. You know, we might have to face things that are difficult and frightening and sad. And if this old world continues the way it is, that's exactly what's going to happen. We face difficult things. We face difficult things in life. But let us be people who live by faith and hope and love in the Lord Jesus.